right, that's right, that's right. Round of applause, round of applause. We are back right here on excitementradio.com. Your boy Ben Hop, I am back in the building. You know how I do it, Ben Hop's Community Corner. This is where I love to like bring people on the show. And we're going to talk about, you know, information that's important to the community. And today is definitely a special day because I have in the building with me a special guest. Now, this brother and I go way back, but this brother also has a wealth of knowledge in this area we're going to be talking about. And I'm so glad to have him on. So round of applause again for my special guest that's in the building. I got Victor Williams in the building. He's a retired special agent with Homeland Security Investigations. And now he's the founder and CEO of Quest to Freedom and Anti-Human Trafficking 501c3 Organization. That deserves a round of applause, number one. So let's do that, number one. So with that being said, my brother, how you doing today, Victor? How you doing, my brother?
Ben, I have to tell you, man, I'm a little sad right now.
Ah, right?
Team lost in the Champions League, but I'm feeling fabulous to finally be here with my brother that I've known for years.
Yes.
And we talked about this moment, and I want to thank you for allowing me to share what I think is the really most important information on human trafficking to your audience.
And, you know, we talked about it, and like I said, I definitely wanted to bring you on sooner, but I'm glad we got it going today. This is a very important, very important topic because this happens every day.
Every day.
Before we even get into it, I want people to know a little bit about your background. So can you please just give them a little, you know, synopsis of who you are, you know, how you got to the position where you at and how you started the foundation.
Quest to Freedom.
Yes.
So, yeah, Ben. So I think back when I first moved to Miami in 1990, I came here with the Coast Guard chasing my dream to drive go-fast boats for customs, chasing drug smugglers. That's when we met back in
the 90s. That's right, exactly.
I used to drive boats for customs, right? So it was a dream that came true. And then once I got the job with customs, I went to Barry U, got my degree, and then I became an agent. In 2000, I shot over to Atlanta for 5 years as a customs agent, but came back to Miami as a Homeland Security agent after 9/11. When I got back to Miami, I was assigned to the FBI. You know our good friend, Tony Valesca.
Man, Tony, what up, Tony?
Yeah, so, you know, I ended up going working for the FBI for like 3-4 years with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, JTTF. And I had an opportunity to go to Botswana, Africa. Neighboring country
with
South
the ATF?
Africa. No, with Homeland.
With Homeland, okay,
Okay. And so I went over as a, you know, as a class coordinator at the International Law Enforcement Academy. There are four of them worldwide, but the one in Botswana serves the entire continent of Africa.
Wow, okay.
So whatever relationships we have with countries over there, their mid to high level law enforcement people come to the academy.
Right.
And all our three letter agencies, FBI, HSI, CIA, all we do is teach them how we do things in the U.S.
Wow.
And that's when I got my first lesson on my first course in human trafficking. And I heard the word, you know, modern day slavery, and being an African American, the word slavery stuck out. So I really didn't know how that worked.
Right.
But, you know, that was my first lesson. When I got back to the States, my time was up to the with FBI.
Right.
And I go back to Homeland and I get put in the Homeland Security I go back to the special agent in charge office in Miami and I get assigned to the human trafficking unit.
Oh, so you got assigned there?
Yeah.
It wasn't something you requested?
Well, it was on my list.
Okay,
on
there
my
you go.
Top three because, you know, and I did get it. And, this is what got me doing what I'm doing now. One of the guys that I sat next to, Jonathan Cruz, he's a retired agent now, so I can say his name.
Okay.
He was working this case with about 7 or 8 Mexican women that have been trafficked here. And, we don't like locking up victims of human trafficking.
Right.
But we held these women as material witnesses because we had this trial against, you know, we had a case against the men who had trafficked them.
Wow.
And for about 5 months, these women were like, we're not trafficked. We knew something was up. But we ended up finding out that one of the women in the group was part of the family that was trafficking them that kept these women afraid.
So it's like an inside job type thing.
Yeah. So when we pulled that woman out and sent her back to Mexico, all the women came clean. So these guys were going to go to trial. Mm-hmm. Now imagine going to trial. Your evidence is the victim and the victim saying, I'm not a trafficking victim. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So when we pulled that woman out, sent her back. Right. And, now these guys decide to plea out. And this is what got me. This woman was giving her impact statement to the judge and said, right. Judge, this is why these men should get maximum time. And they did. The judge went outside of the guidelines and gave them maximum time.
Right, right.
And hearing her story, they took her at the age of 14.
Wow.
They trafficked her for 12 years. Now, I know you lived in Miami all your life.
Yes.
Have you ever been down to Homestead and seen, looked in the fields where people are picking the fruits and vegetables that we eat?
Yes, I've seen it.
So that's a dirty job.
Right.
So she was brought here and placed in a trailer along those fields where those men, when they left those fields, they didn't go home, change clothes, put on cologne. They left that dirty field where she was, and I don't like using the word sex in this
situation,
where she was raped 15 to 25 times a day by these men. And just hearing this woman talk about the disgust, what she had to do to those men that left these dirty fields. Imagine. They weren't clean. And she had to, you know, be sexually assaulted by them. And I knew at that moment, bro.
That's when you had
this was going to be something. I didn't know how, when, what. Uh-huh. But I knew it was something that would be on my radar of addressing for the rest of my life.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man, this is difficult. I could tell you right now. So, and
you know, and that's one thing I like to say to your audience.
Yes.
We want to give them a little warning because some of the things that they're going to hear here may be triggering to some of them. And if they have to back away, take a break, call somebody, please do. But this is a heavy topic.
Yes, I think because it's heavy, but I think it's something that's needed. And it's something that we have to talk about. And I have so many questions. So it's like, and excuse me if I jump from one place to another. And I want to go into the mind before we even go into the mind of the victim in this situation. What is the mindset of the actual offender in this? And what does the offender that participate in the human trafficking, what are they getting out of this? Like, what is it? A money thing? Like, can you break that down?
But before we go there, can I explain to people? So like,
sure.
Write that note down for that question. But I want to give people a little bit about the history of human trafficking.
Okay, please do.
And what it is, right?
Yes.
So we didn't get our first human trafficking laws until the year 2000 when the United Nations brought all countries together in Palermo, Italy.
Okay.
And said we have to address this major issue that's been going on since mankind, right? And so we got our first laws, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000, the TVPA.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it describes the elements of human trafficking and what it is. So there's, when you look at the elements of human trafficking, there are three elements that you have to have in order to have a case.
All right, let me,
and that's force. That means like I beat you to make I do what I want you to do.
Right.
Coercion is the threat of beating you, somebody you love, kicking you out the house, not feeding you. I always say if you have a need to the detriment of your life, be careful because people can exploit you.
Mm-hmm.
And that third one is fraud, which is the weakest out of the elements. That's like, hey, come to Miami, be a model or a singer. And we've had cases like that. But then you get here and you're like, no, I don't want to do that. But then they use force and coercion to keep you.
So you need those three elements.
You need one of those three.
Oh,
not
just
all
at least
three,
one.
Just one of those elements.
Okay.
Now there's some other things like, you know, cause a lot of people believe that because of the word trafficking that you gotta have movement. You don't have to have movement.
Ah, there you go.
Although you do have words like transportation, aiding, harboring as, you know, part of those, you know, like backdoor crimes, you know, goes along with it.
Okay, I get
But that you gotta have one of those three elements, right?
Okay.
And now what are the four types of trafficking?
Well,
you got force. I mean, I'm sorry, you got sex trafficking, which everybody talks about. You got labor trafficking, which is 60 to 70% of all trafficking. And that's where we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And you have servitude, debt bondage. That's when somebody hires you as a maid or, you know, whatever, and you come over from another country or here and they kind of abuse you. Debt bondage. Hey, I paid your way over here. You got to pay me back.
Oh.
And you never pay that bill. So they go together. And then you have organ trafficking.
Whoa.
Now, About a year or so ago, I was on a radio station with someone with the new mayor of North Miami. Mm-hmm, he had just got elected and he was on, and I was telling them that I had never worked an Oregon case, and they were like, him and the host of the radio station stop and go, well, let me tell you what's happening in North Miami, which is heavily populated by,
a lot of Haitians.
Haitians, right. And so without knowing the laws, your rights, whatever, they would get a call, hey, your loved one's in the hospital. They get there, sorry, your loved one is gone and we're removing their organs. I'm still looking to find details on that because, you know, you,
wait a minute, you're saying that they would get a call from the hospital.
Yeah.
And the hospital, when they get there, they're like, okay, your family member, whatever, passed away, but we now
removing their organs. Yeah.
Can they do that?
No, they're not.
That's what I'm saying. So.
Matter of fact, they even made a suggestion. If you got organ donor on your driver's license,
take it off.
Yes. But I'm not advocating for that because I have it on mine. So those are the four types of trafficking. Okay. Now, real quick, going back to the TVPA, one of the ways that the three ways that, you know, they put in the TVPA to address human trafficking is prevention, prosecution, and protection. So we want to educate, and that's what we do at Quest of Freedom. And what people are going to learn today, this is a prevention mood.
Prevention.
And then you have protection. You want to, you know, be in a position to protect victims. That's another thing that we do at Quest of Freedom. And then prosecution. You want the people who perpetrate this crime pay for it.
To pay for it.
Now.
Oh man, awesome.
Now you want to go back to your question. So now you know the history.
Thank you for that.
You know the elements. You know the types of human trafficking.
Thank you.
And you know how we are addressing these issues. Right?
Okay. Yes. So now back to the question. Now, the mindset, or how do these perpetrators get into this, and how are they able to operate like this? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you know.
So, you know, Ben, I educate people in the culture of this.
Okay.
I let everybody know of, you know, victims are and traffickers are created in homes all around the world.
Okay. So it starts at home.
Everything starts at home.
Okay.
Right? So what I mean by that, when I get to talk to parents, I say, parents, you know, you need to create an environment that your kid can come talk to you or whatever about anything.
Okay.
Next, I'm like, parents, deal with your trauma. Deal with the trauma that your parents gave you, that your grandparents gave them, because you got generational trauma. And if you're not dealing with that, unresolved trauma becomes vulnerability and insecurities. So when you talk about the men that started this, this is a mindset change for me.
Okay.
Because I teach this from my learned experience, not as a victim, but someone who's worked with victims, and that when I first started hearing about this, I changed my life because I realized I didn't want to be a part. I grew up as a male in America.
Right.
I did a lot of dumb things not knowing about human trafficking.
Right.
So when I teach this, I say if most men knew what I know and decided to act, we could change this in a snap. So when we go back to that question of these men, this is a mindset change that I learned early. We all have heard the saying prostitution, the world's oldest profession.
Correct.
It is actually farming. But when I hear men say that, I say because we're the world's oldest customer. It does not exist unless we're creating the market.
Right.
But we live in a world of culture, which you're going to hear me say that a lot, that we demonize the person that's selling and who could be a potential victim, then looking at these men who create the market.
Right.
And you know, back in our day, most of the people that got stopped with sex workers or prostitutes, who went to jail?
Who went to jail, right. And the person was actually the John or whatever. Got away.
Exactly. And that's part of the culture that we created because what? Law enforcement is mostly dominated by men.
Right.
So that mindset of that kid growing up in that traumatic, you know, I remember meeting a trafficker one time that we used in a trial, which is very rare. And I was talking to him. I'm like, hey man, you know, where did you come from? This kid never had a chance. The hood he grew up in, he was walking out the door selling drugs. And then his first time he went to jail, he learned about, you know, being a pimp. But he was get women and sell pimps. I mean, sell the girls to another person. And then he went to jail again for trafficking an underage girl. And the second time when he's in jail, well, he went to jail again. And then he learned from another film, like, why are you selling your girls for 500 when you can make 500 dollars a day or whatever on them. And so I'm like, so how do you get these women to do this? He goes, I find the good and the bad in them.
I was going
to
say, man.
I find
how
out
do they...
everything about them.
Right.
And then I use that bad to keep them down. And every now and then I give them, when I see they're about to break, after I broke them, first of all, and every now and then when I see them really about to break, I might buy them a purse, get them a shoe, give them a dollar, you know. And so it's all this manipulation and exploitation.
So you're talking about women that are, and this is what, like you said, it starts at the home, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about women that are coming from broken homes.
And where, men now.
And men, because they both, they're doing
yeah,
both.
Yeah.
All right, so you're talking about men and boys that are coming from broken homes,
yes.
right? Because what I'm saying is, as a parent,
yeah,
I know with me, I'm a parent. If my child goes missing, number one, I'm yeah. like, I'm calling everybody. I'm calling the world. I'm like, yo, help me find my child.
Right.
So what I'm saying is these are children that are coming from homes where what are the families doing? Like if they disappear or if they get, like you said, if they get transported here, what are the families doing?
Well, I'll tell you this. Like a lot of people think about human trafficking in the uh-huh. form of taking.
Right.
And that does. You know, kids go missing, people go missing every day.
Okay.
But the easier way to get them is take, cause I hear traffickers say like this guy, thank you mom, thank you dad, thank you uncle for the trauma you gave to your child and never got it resolved. Right before I retired, I got contacted by a young lady who father, cause we got familiar trafficking, which is, happens a lot.
Wow, that's
the
another
father
one.
Mm-hmm. freaking trafficked her all through her childhood until she graduated high school and
so
ran away.
So the father used the daughter, right?
Yep. Was selling his daughter.
Selling his daughter to do sexual favors or right. sexual things with other people.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
And you know what? Let me go back.
And we may go all over the place, yeah. but go ahead.
So real quick, going back to the elements, the one important thing that I failed to mention in those elements,
uh-huh.
those elements only apply to adults. So if you're a child that is sexually, commercially exploited, uh-huh. you are a victim. So since the year 2000, Ben, young kids under the age of 18 that was arrested for prostitution, they were victims. Again, going back to culture, it took Florida 16 years to finally pass a law that says no more arresting kids for prostitution under the age of 18. It took Georgia right. 19 years. I did a year.
Wow.
I did a year as the human trafficking coordinator for the state of Georgia.
In Georgia.
It took them 19 years.
Wow. So what I'm saying is, in that case you was just talking about.
Right.
If the father was doing this to the daughter, and let's say it's happening here in this country, right? In America?
Yes.
The child is not aware, because I know nowadays you got DCF, you got, you know, where the kids now, they can call and say, oh, my parent hit me, you know, and now they come in, they step in, and they take the parent to jail. These kids are not aware of these programs.
I mean, look, this has been a progress, but right. depending on where you, uh-huh. how you, cause look, from the moment we're born to 7 years old,
right.
we are programming our kids.
Right.
It would be great if this was a cultural thing, cause you could teach a kid 3 or 4 different languages. You could give a kid so much.
Right.
But because of the way we were raised, we stop a lot of our kids, you know, creativity. Sit down, shut up.
I don't do
you know,
that.
We
you're
box
right about
them in.
That. Yes, you're right.
And so if I got this kid from day one right. grooming her that this is the way the world works, then that's the way. I give you, I've seen women grow up in a family where they see the father beat their mother.
Right.
That when they left the house, they found men
that beat them,
thinking if you didn't beat me, that's love.
I get it. I get it. So that
it's
like
programming.
You said, it's programmed. Yeah. And this is why the offenders can find these
broken
individuals and exploit them and get them to do what they do. It's crazy.
You know, one of the things that, again, talking about culture, so we stop in my early, I've grown through this and made mistakes not understanding the whole mental process.
Right.
So when we used to show pictures of human trafficking, they were always tied up, get chained to a bed.
Right.
So that's easy to see a victim like that.
Right.
So then when you saw someone that was free, you're like, oh, they must want to do it because look, there's a cop right there. What people got to understand is the invisible chains. If I got your mind, I got your body.
Wow.
We've had cases like when we were first learning about this, we're like, well, where's the control? If the trafficker is in another state or another country, where's the control? We didn't understand what you call trauma bonding.
Ah,
you know, see, a lot of people, the common language that, oh, she's, you know, what do you say when I got your mind? You know, somebody got your mind and they, you know, he's in, deep in your mind or she's deep in your mind, but it's the technical term is called trauma bonding.
Trauma bonding. Wow.
Cause if you think about it in your time, you've seen people being treated like crap.
Right.
But they won't leave.
Right. See, that's crazy. And you know what? You're right. Because a lot of times when we hear the word human trafficking, we're thinking that
transportation.
We're thinking that the person is actually held against their will. But if they're mentally chained, they can't break away.
That's why I say, like, people say, It's a choice. It's not a choice if you don't think you have a choice.
Exactly.
And so when, you know, I know you probably heard this along your life. Guys like, I just broke her last night. That means you just broke that person's will. Wow. You just broke their spirit. Yeah. You just broke them down that they look at you as their everything to life and all they got. So if you got some go out and sell yourself, that may not what they really want to do. But if they know the consequences of them not doing it, do they really have a choice?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you, we've had several movies out that kind of show one of my favorites. I mean, because it's my favorite, because I love the way the outcome is. Like the father in that movie found his daughter and saved his daughter.
Right.
Does that happen like that in real life where...
Are you talking about the movie Taken?
Taken.
Yeah.
Where... Does that happen in real life where they just snatching people out of the blue and they taking them does this really happen? Like what's the percentage of?
I can't give you those numbers.
Okay.
You know, because it, you know, it's, but I tell you, people are missing every day.
Right.
And they're not always taken. Sometimes they're tricked to like come along and then they're not allowed to leave. You know, do we have, you know, stories of the white van? I'm not going to say that doesn't happen, but it does, you know, but, and when you keep seeing movies, is that all you see? Then people go, oh, you're sensationalizing the white van. Because like I said, I don't need a white van. All I got to do is find that broken kid.
That broken person.
And just start giving them, you know, what we call love, but it ain't love, and get them to trust me. And all of a sudden, you know, there were kids that were trafficked. Uh-huh. In the house, coming home every night, mom and dad go to bed, they have to sneak out of the window. And I like, you know, if you got kids out there.
Right.
And so, you know, and especially when we talk about the internet, there's so, when you gave your kid internet without parent control, you just gave millions
without
of people
supervision,
access.
Right?
To your child.
Right.
And then you get there, these kids are playing kid games and they're adults pretending to be kids asking questions. Oh, what's your name? Where do you live? And kids don't know. They just answer. Yeah. And then they find out and then they're like, hey, come meet me or whatever. And then they meet you and then, hey, you know,
okay. Let me put myself in that situation right there. Can I put myself in that situation?
Put yourself in that situation.
So my 7-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He plays on internet game and we noticed he was talking to somebody while he was playing. I'm like, well, who are you talking to? And we're trying to pay attention to how the conversation is going.
Right.
Cause we're like, yo, wait a minute. Who's it? Cause we know you got the predators out there. So what I'm saying is, how can, as a parent, if you know this happens, but yet your child is telling you, you're going to meet, I'm talking about 7, 8, 9 year old talking about, I'm going to meet some. How can that get to that level? As a parent, you're not saying, wait a minute, you're not going, where you think you're going? You can't go anywhere by yourself. You get what I'm saying? So I'm putting myself in that situation because that's why I look at it like, that can't happen to me, but I never say never, but I'm saying to myself, that can't happen. But how does that happen?
You know, I'm not maybe having that kid come meet me, but I'm learning so much about that information that if you're not watching that kid every day, and I get that kid 1 second alone and go, you know what? I know where you live.
Ah.
I know your parents. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, these are the things that's going to happen to you. I watch some of my algorithms that I watch. Uh-huh. I see these guys doing, social experiments, right? And this guy goes to a park and he's sitting next to a mother and he goes, "Hey, you think your kid will walk away with me?" She goes, and this is a freaking 6-year-old.
The parent probably saying no.
Absolutely not. And he goes, "Okay, you mind if I try? Cause I'm doing these experiments."
Okay.
So he walks over there with the dog. "Oh, you see the puppy? Oh, the puppy. I like the puppy. What's the puppy's name? Oh, the puppy's name is, what do you think?" She goes, "Donuts." "Nah, you know what? The puppy's name is Duncan." "Oh, you know, and I got more puppies. You want to see?" "Yeah." "You want to go?" "Yeah." And there they go. And the mom is sitting
there. Wow.
I seen it. Now you get 13 year olds that are online.
Wow.
And they did the same thing. "You know, we've been talking to your daughter online. She thinks I'm 15 years old. Do you think your daughter will come to the house?" "No, my daughter won't do that."
So the parent is already saying, "No, my daughter ain't gonna do that."
Right. And then all of a sudden, because you're online, and then they go, "Well, yeah, she just sent us a text that she's on the way." So the mother goes to the house, set up everything. The kid shows up at the house. The dude takes her upstairs. "Hey, have a seat. I'll be right back." Goes away. The lights go out. And then the lights come back on. And there's a person standing there with a mask. And the kid's like, "Oh, no." Try to run. And the person grabbed him, throw him back on the bed, undo the mask. And it's the mom like, "What are you doing?"
Wow.
I mean, look, Ben, life is like this, bro. We say we don't know what we would do when the real thing happens in life. We don't know. That's why you got to talk to your kids. You got to role play with your kids. You got to prepare kids for stuff like this,
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Like, and you're right. I've seen stuff like that, but it's just crazy that it can happen like that. Wow.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, if I'm jumping all over the place, please excuse me. And of course, if you are tuned in, you listening, and you want to ask any questions, we are live here, 305-749-6004, 305-749-6004. I want to bring up the Puff Daddy situation right now.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I want to get your take on it. Now, I'm hearing, like, with the media, the news, they're talking about Puff Daddy, and they're talking about sex trafficking, right?
Right.
What is your take on that?
You must not have seen my Channel 6 with Jerome.
I did not
Schrader.
Get to see it. I didn't get to see it. This is the excitement radio version.
Yeah. So, you know, like, even if I knew the investigation, I wouldn't be allowed to talk about it.
Correct.
So let's talk about what we know.
We
know that Homeland Security got enough information from someone, and I would guess to say that was from his situation with Cassie.
Okay.
We know that he's been in her life when she was a teenager.
Okay.
And if any of those things that is true about what he did, having her have sex, that's a great thing about human trafficking. There is no statute of limitation.
So none.
If you've been trafficked 20 years ago and you can show evidence of that, people can still, that was one of the great things in the TVPA.
So that's like murder then. Like murder, there's no statute of limitations. So.
Right. And that's the great thing about it because that's the one thing, again, culturally, people like, "Oh, why she wait so long? Why she wait so long?" Because when you traumatize or you in that mindset, you know, we're being educated now.
Yes.
People are learning like, "Wait a minute, that's what happened." You'd be surprised how many victims I go like, "Oh man, that's what this person doing to me." Cause one thing that I realized, my business, Ben, I do not save people. I can't save you if you don't think you got a problem. You know, I'm a resource.
Right.
I've rescued some people, but people have to save themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
So in his case,
right.
You know, when she filed a lawsuit and he didn't fight it, maybe there's some evidence that he had been doing that with her as a young child.
So it opens some doors.
That's trafficking. Remember, I don't need those elements of force, fraud, or coercion when you're under the age of 18.
Okay.
So that may have opened some doors for them to do a search warrant. So whatever they put in that search warrant, it was enough for a judge to sign out. Let me tell you about federal cases.
Okay, tell me.
We got 90-something% of, you know, convictions in federal cases. Feds don't knock on your door without knowing stuff. Now, local PD can arrest you and then send it over to the prosecutor. And the prosecutor, you don't have enough, you're free to go. Normally, when we do our cases, we're bouncing it off prosecutors before we write search warrants. We have to. That's our process.
Right now, as you see this situation go on with Puff, I haven't seen any arrests.
Right.
But like you said, if they made that move, they have enough
to do search warrants. So right. When they hit the house, they had enough that a judge, okay, go. So they go in for electronics because supposedly he's filming everything.
So let me
find the electronics. Let me find the cameras. Mm. Let me find all of this. Now, people were like, oh, why did they have to use a SWAT team? Now, as Homeland Security agent, I was what we call our team is special response team.
Right.
There are three reasons that we use a special response team. If we know that there's somebody in there of a danger.
Okay.
If we know there are weapons in the house.
Yes.
Or if the house of a certain size.
Okay.
They were doing his mansions.
That's a big house.
You're not sending regular agents to knock on the door to do a search warrant.
Right, right.
You need to make sure a place of that size is secure.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the end of the day, like I said, three things that they're gonna have to be able to prove. One of those three elements. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, he's not been arrested yet, but a search warrant is to gather more evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So if they got enough evidence, I wouldn't be surprised if down the road he gets hit with charges.
So this is what I'm saying. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. This is how I'm looking at it with proof. Right. I'm hearing what they're saying. I'm saying, okay, yes. He used to have these crazy parties. Of course, an industry person, big name in the business. You know, when you have these parties, all kinds of things happen in these parties.
Yeah.
Yes, he probably got some girls to come to these parties.
Underage girls?
That I don't know. But I'm just saying.
Let's just say allegations.
But let's say that's what it was. Maybe not knowing they were underage, because we know we in South Florida. We like the king, one of the king capitals of strip clubs out here, you know?
Yeah.
Like next to Atlanta and next to Georgia, like South Florida, we like big when it comes to the strip club industry.
Right.
And I know a lot of girls in the strip clubs probably might be lying about their age to even go in there and start dancing.
Yeah.
So let's just say he recruits some of these girls just to come and say, hey, come to the party. I pay you to be in there and I want you to dance, not necessarily do anything, but I want you just to dance, you know, dress sexy, dance and that like that. But yet they're saying that.
Ben, you know.
I'm just saying.
Ben, you know, ignorance is not a defense. Just now, I'll tell you what Florida's been one of the leading states when it comes to human trafficking and changing life. I'll give you an example.
Uh-huh.
They've addressed strip clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just can't take an ID that looks fake.
You
gotta validate some stuff, right? I love what West Palm Beach does. They make women register. I hope that becomes a state law.
What you mean register for what? To be a stripper? To be a dancer?
Exactly. To make sure that, cause it's a legal business.
Okay.
So you gotta register to make sure that you're legal age.
Okay.
And what they do is educate you about some of the safety issues.
Wow. I did not know that.
A lot of women, that's a Florida law. That's a Palm Beach City law. I hope Florida adopts that law. A state law. But they have passed legislation that says you can't just take an ID and be okay. You got to validate.
So you got to do the background check.
You
got to
do a little bit more.
That.
The other thing that they do is they say you can't look at these women as contractors. So if you're a contractor, I don't have to hold any of your information. Now, if you work for my strip club, I got to hold that information of who you are. You know, so when I come knocking on your door, who works here? It's almost like in an immigration situation. I want to see the I-9.
I-9. You need paperwork on them.
Exactly. To show that license, you got a social security card. You got a driver's license.
Right.
You got to validate some stuff.
So definitely. Okay. Wow. See, that's something I did not know.
And ignorance is not part of a defense.
There you go. So he can't say, well, you know, they look like they were 21.
right. That's not a defense.
Right. We'll see what happens with the Puff Daddy situation, you know, as it pans out. But getting back to the human trafficking, like, I wanted to say, like, okay, have you ever seen a case or have you ever ran into a young lady who was in that situation so long that once she was free, she was able to, like, either become an advocate or become like someone that could talk to other young ladies and say, please don't fall into this situation. Have you ever ran into anybody like that?
So yes, a lot. Uh-huh. So one of my positions, I am the vice chair of the Miami-Dade Human Trafficking Coalition, which is a program run out of the Coordinated Victims Assistance Center. Mm-hmm. It's called CVAC. Most people know it as that. CVAC is on 2400 US 1. You're going south, you know, 2400. And they offer services to human trafficking victims, mm-hmm. domestic violence victims, mm-hmm. and sexual assault victims, mm-hmm. right? So I've been working with victims. I've seen them get their PhDs. I've seen them come out of this. And it's a great question because right now I'm working with Dr. Sandra Anderson Spencer.
Okay.
This is a woman that was trafficked at the age of 11.
Wow.
And she has persevered and thrived to get her PhD in psychology. Mm. And she is doing amazing work. And now we're about to collaborate on some things because I'll tell you what happens to me.
Right, right.
When I was starting working in this space, I'll be asking questions like you. I'm like, how do women get caught up? I didn't understand how people can allow this to happen to themselves.
Right.
And then I had my first class in trauma. It's like, oh, so they're traumatized and it's unresolved, you know, so it's always been this progress of not really realizing. Now we've heard of CTE, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, our state attorney here, Ms. Rundle, Kathy Rundle, is one of the best at what she does in this space. And I will always wave her flag in this space.
Good.
Because she has her own human trafficking unit.
Okay.
She takes five of her attorneys and like, this is all you're going to do because you can't do sex crimes, human trafficking, rape, all these different things and really try to home in because to really understand human trafficking requires a change within yourself because of the culture stuff, right?
Right.
So you gotta, if you could just focus on this, it changes the learning curve.
Right.
So I was always waver flag. So two things that she done.
Uh-huh.
She's done a lot, but some major things. Depositions.
Okay.
If you are a woman, especially if you underage, Florida was one of maybe three or four states that is a right states to the person that's accused. So if you were a woman that got raped by five men, before you even go to trial, they get to bring you in a room and all five lawyers get to depose you. You know, and not even talk about the case. They can ask you personal questions. You know how many young people did not make it through that process? We wouldn't even put, there are cases like, oh, we're going to plead out because I can't put this child through this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she finally for 7 years fought to have this law finally change. And in this business, any progress is better than none.
Right,
so if you're under the age of 16,
why
not 17? Why not 18? Okay, it's progress. You do not have to go through that process again.
Okay.
That's win number one.
Okay, good.
Win number two, she, you know, got $500,000 and got the Phoenix Project, which is a house that house about 16 women that are trafficked. Cause what you do when you're law enforcement, you come across a victim and they don't have anywhere to go. You try to get them into these types of facilities.
Right.
But if those facilities aren't available, what happens to them?
They get back into the streets.
You know, well, I go stay with a friend. And that's one of the things that my organization is trying to establish.
Okay.
That we want to make sure that a victim is never left out in the cold. So Quest to Freedom, that's Quest, the number two freedom.org. Please support us because, you know, we're trying to raise enough money to register with the national hotline that no woman or no victim will ever be left out in the cold, that if law enforcement don't have a place to put you, hey, we're going to get you a hotel for a night or two or a week until they find somewhere for you to go. Or if you need a bus ticket, plane ticket back home, Uber ride, food, and that, and those immediate needs, that's what we want to be able to take. So she got Phoenix Project. The other thing that she does, I mean, she's so dynamic, but I kind of lost my thought because it was something that you asked me to talk about that, she, you know, she's just, anyway, well, it'll come back to me.
Okay.
But anyway, she is doing a lot in this space.
And that's good.
Nah, she's amazing. And you can't fight this enough. Like I told you, over 50 million people are trafficked around the world.
Wow.
And that includes what we don't ever talk about, underage marriages. If you Google, there are about five or six states that would allow you to marry a 12-year-old if the parents consent.
That's crazy.
It is, but we don't know these things,
that's
right?
Crazy.
So that means one in every 150 people possibly are caught up in a human trafficking.
Wow.
Florida is number three in the country. Florida.
Who's number one?
California.
Well, California's number one.
Texas number two.
Wow.
And if you look at 1, 2, 3, what's major about these states? They're all got big agriculture.
Wow.
Cause remember,
yes.
Remember what I told you. Labor trafficking is 60 to 70%. And
right.
Why is that important? And involves all of us. If you own a cell phone,
right.
You can buy clothes and you can buy food, including myself. We all got about 40 to 60 slaves working for us.
Mm.
I'm going to ruin some of your audience lives right now.
Go ahead.
If you eat chocolate.
Big grown, go ahead.
Big, Ben, you eat chocolate?
Once in a while.
And the last chocolate product, did you see a fair trade label on it?
I'm a check next time, but. Yeah.
So if you buy chocolate that doesn't have a fair trade label on it and you're not sure where that chocolate comes from, there's a high percentage that the beginning processes of that chocolate product starts on the west coast of Africa with a stolen and or sold child picking a cocoa bean that never had a chocolate.
What? So wait a minute. I have to see fair trade label on it?
That helps.
If it doesn't say that.
Yeah, it's like a little seal. When you Google fair trade, it'll have a seal.
So if I see that,
you're good.
But if I don't see
that. And that's chocolate and coffee. If you don't see it, it's a possibility that it comes. Now, and these kids never had chocolate, right?
Right.
So a stolen or sold child. Now, if people want to fact check me on this, uh-huh. Google dark side of chocolate.
Dark side of chocolate.
Yeah, you can.
Wow.
You can,
let me write that down. Dark side of chocolate.
Yeah, you can fact check me on that.
So
in my opinion, Ben, all experts says human trafficking is the fastest growing crime in the world. Some say by 2030 it would be the number one crime in the world.
Wow.
In my opinion right now, just because of that fact right there, it is the number one crime in the world. Cause not everybody that owns a phone, buy clothes, or buy food, buy drugs.
Right.
Which they claim is the number one crime in the
world. Wow, yeah. That's crazy. Another thing I wanted to ask. Along the lines with meeting someone that reformed and want to become, like, say, an advocate for the situation,
uh-huh.
Have you ever ran into, like, say, or have you heard stories of a young lady who was rescued but then end up going back or end up becoming a victim back in that same arena?
And that question just reminded me the other thing.
Okay, there you go.
So Miss Rundle does a human trafficking forum every year.
Uh-huh.
And each year I've learned a lot from that forum.
Okay.
So this year the forum was about CTE. You know that Will Smith did that movie called Cushion about football players having CTE. A lot of guys killing themselves. And when they look at their brains, they have CTE.
Right.
So if they got CTE, what about domestic violence, women or people who are getting beat without a helmet? Or human trafficking people that are taking blows to their head without a helmet.
Right.
Something else to talk about.
Okay.
Now to go to that question about women going back, this is why this crime is so difficult for law enforcement.
Okay.
Because we want to save people. We want to beat our chest. I saved someone. But then they're so traumatized. They don't realize sometimes they're being trafficked. I don't care. Try to take a kid out of a house that they're constantly being abused.
Right.
You ever hear the kid come out, yeah, save me? They're crying.
It's like that Stockholm syndrome, right?
Exactly what that is.
Right.
Cause that's the thing that I go to when you're ready to start talking about the solution.
Yes.
You know, because that is exactly that. If I spend enough time with the person that kidnapped me, I'm going to adapt some emotional attachment.
Exactly.
So even when I get saved, I'm going to be like, oh, I feel bad for him cause, or her because they at least kept me alive. They had to feed you no matter how bad they were treating you. They kind of fed you.
They took care of you, right.
To a certain degree.
Right.
But the Stockholm syndrome, you nailed
it. I saw a movie. I think it was on Netflix. I forgot what streaming channel it was on. But it was crazy. And it was based on a real story where the dad basically locked the daughter down in the basement or the, you know, he had like a secret area like underneath the house that the wife, and he was married.
Right.
That the wife never knew nothing about.
Right.
And the daughter ended up missing. So the mother, of course, police trying to find out what's going on with the daughter. But the daughter all this time was in this basement with a dad. This is the father. Mm-hmm. And the father end up having three kids with the daughter. Yeah. Now this, I don't know if this was based on a true story.
I think I know what you're talking about.
But it was crazy. I was like, wow. But yes, in that movie, you could see how, like you say, the Stockholm syndrome where the daughter was like, okay, the daddy, but then after a while, you know, they woke up and it was a time to fight back. Like the kids fought back in there. But it's crazy. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like you said, that's what happens with a lot of these victims. Like you said, if you're trapped and somebody is holding you, whatever, but yet they're feeding you, they're giving you water, they after a while, you thinking they taking care of you.
So that young lady that I talked about that was trafficked as a kid, she ran away at 18.
Right.
I met her right before I retired.
Uh-huh.
And the call came in that I got a young lady here that was trafficked by her father. She wanted her father to pay for it, but she didn't want her dad hurt. She wanted her father to be held accountable, but she didn't want to hurt her dad.
Want the dad to go to jail and then like that.
I don't know, but she didn't want the father hurt. So you know what my response to her was?
What was it?
Just heal yourself and it'll come to you.
Okay.
We ain't got a result because you know what? It doesn't have a statute of limitations.
Yeah, there you go.
Heal yourself and it will come to you.
I'm going
to
tell you right now, look, we almost into an hour of this discussion. And I do want to get into, like you said earlier, a solution. Yeah. Is there a solution? Is there something that we can do? And I know we're not going to be able to solve the situation, but is there something that we can do as a community, as, you know, a country to do something better?
So just like this starts at home when I'm talking to parents, I tell parents, I ask parents, what are you teaching your kids about love?
Okay.
Oh, I tell my kid I love him all the time.
That's
no,
what, I love.
What is love? What is love? So when you talk about the Stockholm syndrome, remember, you could be treating me like crap and I am developing this emotional attachment. So I will tell you, love is not about how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I was with some college kids from UM yesterday and I asked this question. I ask this question whenever I can. Oh, love means a lot of things. Yeah, because that's what you think it is. But
that's what the kids said.
That's what everybody thinks. Love, I can love this. They think love means different for everybody. That's where the problem is. We have to redefine because we use the word so much it doesn't have any meaning.
We
have to have a basic ground floor definition of love. If you look in the dictionary right now, it's a deep affection. It's all about how you feel. Mm-hmm. It is not about how you feel. There are women loving their traffickers. There are traffickers saying, I love you, but go sell yourself.
There you go.
So why I say love is, so once we come up, and I'm not a religious person, Ben, but I'm very spiritual, but I would say this.
Okay.
The definition of love in the Bible is a good start. It doesn't complete it, but it's a good start to have a basic definition what love is.
Right.
Because once we have that basic definition that everybody can agree on, that love is about what you're doing, not what you're saying, not what you're feeling. Right. It's about what you do. And as a parent, if I could teach my kid to love themselves, now the how you define love for yourself are by the boundaries you set. Because if I love myself, when I walk out that door, I don't need to belong to the cool group, the cool kids. I don't need you to accept me. I don't care what you say about me because I'm grounded in myself.
Right.
And I eliminate so many of those vulnerabilities that traffickers seek to exploit. So then I'm setting my boundaries. You can't speak to me that way. You can't treat me that way. And let me tell your audience, a boundary is not a boundary if you allow people to keep crossing it without a consequence.
There you go. There you go.
Love is the answer, bro. I know it may sound corny to some of your people.
No. It actually makes a lot of sense.
You've got to redefine it. We need to be on a campaign to redefine love and have that basic ground floor.
I wanted to add something about the boundary thing. I heard somebody say one time, it was like a presentation I heard, and just to give you an example of the boundaries, they talked about, say, a fish in a fishbowl, right? Mm-hmm. They say that, you know, you got a fishbowl and you got a fish and, you know, you got the water inside the bowl, so the fish is able to swim around. Why? Because the bowl is the boundaries. The bowl holds the water in place. That's the boundaries. He said, what if you got rid of the fishbowl? Now the water flows away and what happens to the fish? The fish ends up dying because there's no boundaries holding that water in place. And this is why, like you said, we need to have these boundaries so that way we could preserve life and keep going. Because if them boundaries go, this is when life.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on this.
Okay, but, go ahead. Please do.
In that same analogy.
I like that. Go ahead.
Somebody has an elephant. Okay. So from the moment an elephant is born, they tie them to these chains that they can't break as a kid. Ooh. Then when they grow up, they got a little rope, but they've been, and that's not a boundary. That's your limitations. That's your brain being told you can't go beyond. So yeah, if that's the bowl that you kept me in all my life and I don't believe I can go beyond that.
So they should put the fish in the ocean, let them run free.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you see this thing. So that goes, it's not about me holding that elephant.
Right.
That elephant is holding himself at that moment. Cause as an adult, he can easily break that chain.
Yes.
But because he was a kid and that's all he believed in his life.
Yes.
That he could do. He never even attempted.
And I do agree with what you said earlier today. I definitely agree about what you say. A lot of times we as parents or whatever, we hold our kids back and we tell them, no, don't do this, sit down. And I heard that long time ago. Yeah. That's why I say, you know, like with my little 7-year-old, I let him be free. I let him do stuff because if I tell him, no, he'll never want to do anything, never want to try anything, never want to, cause he's always going to think he may not make it or whatever. Right. So. Yes.
And I tell you, Ben, we grew up with parents always saying, there's no manual to raise kids.
Yes.
There's so much information, how you deal with kids doing things that's different than how we were raised. And if we take some of those methods, we can say no, but in such a positive way that we don't stifle their growth
and their confidence
in themselves.
That way. Oh, I'm beautiful, man. Listen, we ran out of time. So I just want any last words before we get out of here, you know, you would like to share with the audience. Any last words?
I would say everybody has the power to do. Life starts with you. So it's not about giving stuff to your kid. You can't give your kid what you don't have. You can't give love if you don't have it. If you ask most people if they love themselves, they say yes automatically. But then you ask them what love is, they don't know. The question is, the last thing I would say, people, take stock in yourself. Find love for yourself. Take care of yourself so that you make sure you're giving the best of what you do to the people you so-called love or the work you do. Take care of yourself first, just like in an airplane. Put the mask on your face first before you put it on the other person, right?
Exactly.
You got to take, and this is a campaign to get people to start looking inside finding love for themselves. Because once you got it from yourself, it will spread because you'll start hanging out with people that have that love.
I love it. Please, man, let them know the information for the website, social media, anything, any numbers, anything that they could use to contact you and get more information.
Questofreedom.org. That's Quest, Q-U-S-T, the number 2, freedom.org, or Q2F.org. That's where we live. Please go on our social media, spread the stuff that we're spreading. You know, educate yourself, educate your family, spread the word. And help us help others.
Oh man, round of applause. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, man.
Oh
thank
man,
you.
I love it. And like I said, definitely want to bring you back because we got to continue the conversation. I think like this is very important. There's so many things we could talk about.
Oh yeah. Like real quick, January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So and nobody knows that.
Wow, see? The beginning of the year, January.
Is human trafficking, President Obama made January 11th Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And we celebrate that month to educate. And the reason we don't know, like companies waving the flag for everything else, is because a lot of times from the moment a product is made and sold, they got issues. So why they're not waving the flag on this most important?
Thank you for that information. And like I said, I want to continue spread this information and continue to try to educate our community. And of course, anybody that wants to support this organization, please make sure you follow them. Hit them up on the website. This is something that is needed and we need to help because like I said, this is the future and it could be someone around you that you're not even aware of. And it could be somebody that's suffering from this type of a situation. So thank you so much, Victor.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Round of applause again, man, for everything, my brother. That's Ben Hobbs Community Corner on Excitement Radio. And like I said, if you didn't get a chance to get the show here tonight, don't worry about it. The podcast will be up. You'll be able to hear it and listen to it again. All right, so thank you so much. Y'all have a good night.
Thanks, bro.